Thank you very much for that reading. And I'll hand over now to Dave, who'll bring the message to us. And we've all, I think, very much appreciated Dave's words to us over the last couple of weeks.
Thanks. I really am grateful to you all for the welcome that you've given to us over the last 3 weeks. One of the things that I was really conscious of before I retired from being a full-time Baptist minister was that I would really miss going to the same church week in, week out, and sort of building up something. And so I'm really grateful to you for not just giving me one opportunity, one Sunday to come, but also allowing me to come on 3 occasions and to build up something. Also, I would like to congratulate you on your church anniversary, and the 142 years is pretty good going, and I do trust that God will continue to bless you, to lead and to guide you in the years that lie ahead. Like you celebrating your birthday today, my wife celebrated her birthday last week. And we took some of our family out for a meal to celebrate it, because that's what you do, isn't it, with a birthday. You celebrate a birthday with gifts and cards, with parties, or with a meal out. But I suppose one of the questions that we might ask ourselves is this: why actually do we celebrate a birthday? What is it about a birthday that makes it worth celebrating? Certainly you cannot say, can you, that a person's birthday is the beginning of their life. Because as we well know, life within the womb is a beautiful thing, as my pregnant daughter will testify to. So it is not the beginning of life that we celebrate at a birthday. What we actually celebrate, I suppose, at a birthday is the day when a person first began to breathe air, left the darkness of the womb, and began to live their life independently of their mother's body. And in normal circumstances, isn't it true that breathing air, living in the light, and not being physically joined to another human being are the features that mark the continuation of life until a person stops breathing air and enters the darkness of the grave? However, just as a birthday doesn't mark the beginning of a person's life, neither, of course, does death mark the end of a person's life, because we know that there is that glorious certainty of a future life spent with our Lord Jesus Christ. So what a birthday actually celebrates is just one phase of life. It is that phase when a person is breathing oxygen on earth. And in this short series of very special days in the life and ministry of Jesus, we come today to the day when Jesus sent the Spirit, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. An event that is particularly remembered, of course, today, which is Whit Sunday, the day of Pentecost. Next week, the series is actually continuing, not through me, but through my daughter Helen, who will be preaching on the day when Jesus will return to earth. It's very appropriate that today should also be your church anniversary, because as we've already seen, Whit Sunday is regarded as the birthday of the church. Now, as with human births, there was clearly life before Whit Sunday, and we look forward to the day when there will be life after the church's ministry on earth is finished. So what this birthday, it seems to me, does is that it gives to us a number of principles under which the church continues its ministry and its life while it is on earth, as the church breathes the air of the Holy Spirit. So I want to share with you 3 significant things about the day of Pentecost, things which are central to the continuing life and ministry of your church, of any church, of the worldwide church here on earth. And the first point I want to make is that the church is the harvest of the suffering of Jesus, in verses 1 to 4. The word Pentecost literally means 50th. And it was celebrated because Pentecost fell in the Jewish calendar on the 50th day after Passover. And one of the things that people used to do at Passover was that they would bring sheaves of wheat and barley in order to celebrate, to recognize the beginning of the harvest. And then at Pentecost, 50 days later, they would very often bring a loaf of bread in order to celebrate the fact that the harvest was now complete. The sheaves had been turned into the completion of the harvest, the loaf of bread. And Pentecost was a day of joyful and exuberant celebration in the completion, the finality of the harvest. So what happens? Well, in Acts 2 verse 1 it says, when the day of Pentecost came. Now you may remember, of course, that Jesus was crucified at Passover. And just before he died, he likened his death to a grain of wheat falling into the earth. And after, of course, he had died, he rose again from the dead. And the Apostle Paul, describing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, that his resurrection is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In other words, the death and the resurrection of Jesus are seen in the New Testament as being the beginning, the start of the harvest. In Acts chapter 2, we have Pentecost, the 50th day, the day that marked the full and complete harvest. And on that day, something very significant and important happened. Acts 2, verses 1 to 3. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. The coming of Pentecost was marked by a strong wind and tongues of fire. And in the Bible, wind is very often a symbol of power, and fire was a symbol of cleansing. So on that particular day, the disciples were empowered and they were cleansed. They were given strength from outside of themselves through the Holy Spirit coming upon them, and they were made clean inwardly by the purging of fire. And so the harvest of Pentecost was people who were empowered and cleansed by God in verse 4. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, the point I particularly want you to notice here is that this was Pentecost. This was the harvest of Christ's ministry. This was the point of it all. Jesus came to earth. He lived, he died, he rose again. Why? In order to bring about the birth of the church. His aim was to bring into being a community of people who, empowered by the wind of the Spirit and cleansed by the fire of the Spirit, who would have the power and the cleansing, and then through that be enabled to speak the Word of God. One of the questions that people sometimes ask when they see a particular project going on is, what's the point of this? What is this supposed to produce? All that mud, concrete, lorries and cranes, what's going on? Answer, they're building a new block of flats. That pile of ingredients on the kitchen worktop, those flowers, those eggs, those raisins and dried fruit, all that heat, what's it for? Answer, I'm making my friend a birthday cake. And if you had gone up to Jesus when he was agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was facing the trial before Pilate, when he was dying in pain and suffering upon the cross, when he appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden, and if you had said to Jesus, what are you doing? What is the point of this? What are you trying to build? Jesus would have said, I'm building my church. They are to be the harvest of the suffering that I'm going through and the work that I came to do. And the point I want to make to you today is that you and I belong to the harvest of Christ's suffering. As a church, we belong to Jesus. We have been bought by his blood and are built upon his death and his resurrection. The church, you see, is not a club of like-minded people. It is not a human institution. Your church here in Newcastle does not belong to the deacons, the minister, or even to the church members. The church belongs to Jesus. The church was his idea, it was his doing, it is the fruit of his suffering, and belonging to the church is, I believe, the greatest privilege that you can have in life. It is the best thing of all that you could ever belong to. And as today you celebrate the church's birthday, the birthday of your church and the birthday of the church worldwide, let's remind ourselves that the church is the harvest of Christ's suffering and that we belong primarily to him. The second point I want to make is that the church is the reversal of Babel in verses 5 to 13. In Genesis 11, we have that very sad story you probably know about, the Tower of Babel, or Babel, as perhaps we ought to pronounce it. You see, the people, not content to offer to worship to God, decided, they said, we will build a tower that reaches to the heavens. And they did so, they said, so that we may make a name for ourselves. And the result of their arrogance, God scattered the people and confused their language, hence the name Babel. And so it was that human history became the history of people who were scattered and separated. And this is reflected in the lists that are given to us in Acts chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia. These are the descendants of those who were scattered throughout the ancient world by the military might and cruelty of the Assyrian Empire. Those from Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene. These are the descendants of people who fled from the Babylonians at the time when Jeremiah was doing his prophesying. And so God's people were scattered. And the great feast days in the Jewish calendar gave to them an opportunity, a wonderful opportunity to come together as a people to realize their national and spiritual identity. And this was particularly so at Pentecost, because Pentecost every year fell at a good time of year when travel wasn't too difficult and was attended by people from far and wide. And so verse 5, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. All these people come together on the day when Jesus sent his Spirit in power and cleansing. And as we know from the reading, the most amazing thing happened on that day. The curse of Babel was suddenly reversed. Instead of confusion, there was understanding. Verse 6. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one of them heard them speaking in their own language. Peter then goes on, quoting from the prophet Joel, to talk about the way in which the Spirit breaks down human barriers, how sons and daughters, young men and old men, servants, men and women, all now come together, anointed together by the power of the Spirit as he comes upon them. And so the day when Jesus sent his Spirit sees the barriers of age and gender, of status and nationality, the barriers that tend to divide people and set them apart, these barriers are now broken down as Babel is reversed. And today we celebrate the anniversary of that amazing multinational coming together. In 1987, I had the enormous privilege of going to visit Zaire, or as it was called then, Congo, as it's called now, as part of a sabbatical. And on one occasion, I was driven in a Land Rover by somebody to go to a very remote little village out in Zaire to visit the pastor of the local Baptist church. And as we pulled around a corner on this mud track, in the distance, I could see an enormous crowd of people who had gathered together on a flat mud plain, and they were singing and shouting and getting very, very excited. And I turned to the person who was driving me along and I said, "Oh dear, I think we've arrived in the middle of some special celebration. What's all that about?" And he smiled and said, "Just wait and see." And as we arrived, I realized that the celebration was for my arrival. An unknown Baptist minister who had come from across the world to their village. And the celebration of that very simple, low-key event was something that went on until the early hours of the morning. And on that particular day, I shall never forget this, it came really home into my heart what an enormous privilege it is to belong to the worldwide church. And to recognize that you are one with people from all over the world, people of different nationality, of different language, of different culture, that you actually belong to them. And today, your church anniversary, the day of Pentecost, Whit Sunday, is a wonderful day to celebrate the strength and wonder of your diversity. The church embraces people of all ages and generations, of different nations and backgrounds, with varied education and different skills, and they all belong together because they are all united together in their common experience of the Spirit of God. And it is, again, a great privilege to belong to such a community. But we have the responsibility, don't we, to work really hard to remove any kind of barriers that there may be between us, and to demonstrate that Babel really has been reversed among us, and that whoever we are and whatever our background, that we belong together as the community of God's people on earth. The third point I want to make is that the church is founded upon God's grace in verses 14 to 21. You may have heard the story about the two families who lived next door to each other and were really great friends. And then they had a really stupid disagreement and they fell out, and for years they never spoke. Up to this particular point in time, the two families, their two driveways, had been together, not separated. But after this particular argument, they decided to build a fence up the middle of their driveway. And over the years, this fence became the symbol of their disagreement and the fact that they weren't speaking to one another. And then one day, one of the houses caught fire. And the fire rapidly spread through the house, and the little girl in the family was trapped in an upstairs bedroom. And she came to the window above the drive, and she began to scream, because the stairs were on fire, and how were they ever going to get her out before the fire caught up with her? And then the neighbour had an idea, and as quickly as he could, he began to demolish the fence. And he took a couple of the long planks from the fence. He rushed into his house, upstairs, to the window that was opposite the girl's window. And he laid these planks across the driveway between the two houses. He walked across the planks, he picked up the girl, and he carried her back across. The barrier had become a fence, had become a bridge, rather. And why had it happened? It had happened because the person realized that there are some things that are much, much more important than building fences. And that the most important thing of all was to save the girl's life and to give her salvation. And we have already seen how, with the reversal of Babel, the fences were being demolished and had been turned into bridges as Peter preached the message of salvation, of how people can be saved. So let me just quickly reiterate, Pentecost was a joyful celebration of harvest. And when Jesus sent his Spirit, his church was created to be the harvest of his work on earth. Pentecost was a time when people came together from all over the world, and the Spirit broke down the barriers that separated people. A third aspect of Pentecost was that Pentecost in the Jewish calendar reminded people of that upon which their faith and their nation was built. It was seen as an anniversary of the time when God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And that law, as you know, became the basis upon which the nation was established. And as Peter quotes the prophet Joel, so he now lays the foundation upon which the church, the new community of God's people, is now going to be built. And he does so in a very simple sentence in Acts 2 verse 21. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here is the foundation of the new community. And the foundation, in one word, is grace. Salvation as a gift. Relationship with God by simply asking for it. Forgiveness, eternal life, peace, hope and joy, all able, as we've seen earlier with these presents, to be received as gifts. Now this, of course, is expressed, isn't it, in your gift day today, in building a baptistry. Because baptism, for me, is one of the greatest expressions of the grace of God that you can find. Baptism, in being completely dunked in a pool of water, is a magnificent expression of the totality of one's forgiveness and cleansing in Christ. Baptism, in going underneath the water and then coming up out of the water again, is a powerful symbol of the death and the rising again of Jesus, through which we are given, through death and burial, a new life that will last forever. So I'm so glad that your gift day is about a baptistry, because that does express powerfully and wonderfully that you as a church are built upon the grace of God. And we celebrate a church anniversary knowing that it is grace and grace alone that allows us to be part of the church. We recognize that everything that we have is a gift, and we give, as we've already been reminded, simply because God first gave to us. And of course, the other wonderful thing about grace is that we all stand in the same place. Nobody deserves the grace of God more than anybody else. There are no special privileges when it comes to grace. We stand together on the same level, in the same place, before the cross of Jesus, dependent totally upon the grace of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is founded on grace. It's appropriate that on this birthday that we should share together around the Lord's table. For this act of communion reminds us of so much that is significant about the life of the church and the day of Pentecost. This table is, of course, a very powerful reminder, isn't it, of the suffering of Jesus. As the bread is broken, reminding us of his body that was torn apart. As we drink the wine and remember the way in which he shed his blood for us. This table reminds us that we as a community of people are the harvest of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things, of course, that I really like about the way that we do communion is that the cup is normally, I guess you do it here, I don't know, is something that normally we drink together. And that reminds us, you see, that Babel has been reversed. That although we may be very different in our backgrounds and our understanding, in our intellect, our culture, the first language that we speak, whatever, that we stand together. We are united. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And of course, communion too, supremely, is about grace. We don't receive from this table because we deserve to. The bread and the wine are not some kind of reward for good behavior. We receive these things through the grace of God as a gift from a loving and a generous God. So here on this church anniversary, on this day of Pentecost, as we remind ourselves that we are the harvest of Christ's suffering and that the church doesn't belong to us, it belongs to Jesus. As we remind ourselves that we are all one together and the barriers that divide people have been broken, and as we recognize that we all stand together on the same ground, the ground of God's grace, let's truly celebrate the privilege of being part of this great community that stretches throughout the entire world. And let's play our part so that the church may indeed move into the next generation, the next phase of its life, continue to grow and spread and reflect the life and the love of our Lord Jesus. So before we do share together around the Lord's table, we're going to sing together that hymn which is all about the grace of God. In fact, the title of the hymn is simply Amazing Grace, and of course that's what grace is. It is something that is truly amazing and deeply wonderful. So let's celebrate the grace of God as we sing this hymn together now.